make me wanna shout, hit my hands up and shout, throw my hair back. I don't know why I've had that song in particular stuck in my head for about 4 months now. I just love that song. They don't make music like that anymore, guys. And that's the most random thought ever to enter this podcast. Hi, guys. Welcome back to an episode of 20-somethings podcast. It is me, your elusive, non-committal host who's just dropped off the face of the earth. You can't believe that I used to somehow pull off weekly episodes, and that is the goal. Like, in a dream world, I would be a full-time podcaster with like multiple podcasts, like popping them out in and out. But that requires like a team, an editor, producers, researchers, like all of that, which obviously I don't have right now. And if you've been like following my journey or you know me at all, I've been on like a massive social media detox since before Christmas. So I've been like, and now I've taken a big step back from Instagram and just been like deleting it for days and days at a time, which I've noticed a huge improvement with just my focus and my mental health and just not comparing myself so much to other people. So, but it's a double-edged knife because the more that I take a step away from social media, the more removed I am from like promoting the podcast and like engaging with people. So I kind of just got to figure out how I want to move forward and like what my boundaries are. But you guys don't care about any of that boring stuff. Quickly, I'm just going to go into what's hot right now, what's hot, what's not, you know, the 411. I think I'm going to call this section of the podcast like what's the 411, because I just love Mean Girls, and you know, she's like, what's up, girls? What's the 411? So yeah, I'm going to tell you what I've been up to, what I've been reading. If you don't care about this, there will be a time stamp in the description below of the episode where you can skip to get into the actual topic for today's podcast. Okay. I've been listening a lot to this one song called I Just Need by Daniel Allen and Lyra. L-Y-R-A-H. I found it on Instagram. There was like this girl like promoting. She said like, I quit my full-time job to pursue music, and this was her song. And it just has like a certain, let me play a bit of it for you. Hopefully this doesn't get copyright. I'll probably have to mute this for the YouTube. I just need. So I've been listening to that, especially in the gym, popping off in the gym. I've also been listening to Laptop by Kalash and Maureen. It's like a dance hall song. Just makes me want to pop my pussy in the gym. So those are two songs I've been listening to lately that are really good for running or the gym or just exercise. And that's it. If you guys have any good music recommendations, send them my way. I've been feeling there's been like a drought with music. I know a lot of people are coming out with albums though soon, so hopefully there'll be some new songs coming through in the next few months. Book, I'm reading a book. This is like a hard title. The Portrait of a Mirror by A. Natasha Joukovsky. And I'm so split on this book. Like, one minute I love it, one minute I fucking hate it. I've never been so divisive on a book before in my life. Simultaneously, one of the best books I've ever read in terms of the writing, and also one of the most obnoxious, pretentious, annoying books. Like, and I think that's part of it, because she's sort of following and like tracking the interpersonal lives and affairs of like the top tier rich elite in New York City. So I think this pretentious writing style and like using all these fancy words that nobody knows what they mean, I do imagine that's part of her approach. But like, I can't understand what she's saying half the time. But it's just a lot. Like, I'm constantly at Googling dictionary, like, what does this word mean? What does this sentence mean? So if you're not in the mood for that, like for some hard cerebral labor, then I wouldn't read it. But it also has some pull quotes from it and some that are like profound and like really capture the dynamics and the realities of like being in a committed relationship and lusting for someone else and toying with the idea of an affair, like these really real thoughts and feelings that a lot of people have. And it's very beautifully and accurately written. So it just depends on what type of reader you are and what you're looking for. But I'm very split on it. I don't know what I'm going to rate it on Goodreads when I'm done. Probably just a 3, like somewhere right in the middle. So yeah, that's that. And then shows, I've been binge watching Vanderpump Rules. People have been telling me to watch this show for years and years and years, and I was always like, no, I don't like Bravo, whatever. And of course, here I am, like flying through episodes, just like obsessed. Yes, these are horrible people with horrible morals, but is it entertaining? Yes. I don't think I have anything else to share. So today we are going to talk about breaking no contact. This is something that I haven't done in like a year. So proud of myself. Guys, breaking no contact is such an interesting topic to me because it's something I used to be notoriously bad at. Like, I would break no contact every 3 days. It's something, though, that I do think we should talk about because I think it's something that's so normal and that a lot of people do, girls and guys, because it's just like a human thing. Like, sometimes you just really need validation or clarity or attention, even on a base level. And it's very natural to go back to that one person who used to give that to you or who is depriving you of whatever clarity you need or closure you need. Like, it's a very natural instinct in some weird, perverse way to go back to the place that hurt you or disappointed you to hope that something better will come out of it. So I think the first thing that we need to do as a society, just or as just young people, is like remove the judgment and like the self-hatred from it. Like, people just like beat themselves up so much about breaking no contact. Or I guess like you could equate it to like a hangover. Like, you go out, you drink, it's like fulfilling in the moment, and then you're having fun or whatever, and then the next morning you wake up, you feel horrible, you have so many regrets, you have anxiety, your stomach's turning, and you're like, I shouldn't have done that. I will never do that again. I'm never touching a sip of alcohol again. It's that same vibe with breaking no contact. Yet you continue to go out the next weekend and the next weekend and drink and do it all over again, because sometimes that potential moment of like release and fun and freedom is like worth the horrible hangover the next day. And I think breaking no contact is like that same sort of dynamic, where even that slightest potential to receive a bit of validation, a bit of clarity, a bit of closure is sometimes worth it in the moment, even if you know that it could end horribly and you could come across a certain way, or you could get shut down, or figure out you're blocked, figure out that person's moved on. Like, there's so many savage responses that you could get from breaking no contact, the worst of which is probably figuring out you're blocked. That's a pretty brutal feeling. Have I been blocked? Probably. And for those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I guess I should just explain. Breaking no contact, it's like this new phrase that people have been using recently, but it's just the idea of when you go no contact with someone, it's referencing after a breakup. I mean, I guess you could also talk about friends or something, but most of the time it's talking about a breakup. When you break up, you go separate ways and you like agree on no contact, like, we're not going to text, we're not going to call, like, we're going to do our own thing. And then months, weeks, days, years later, someone breaks that no contact and reaches out again to continue a conversation. Or sometimes maybe you're asking for that person back. Sometimes, I don't know. There can be multiple reasons why you break no contact. But most of the time, it's you're hoping for a different outcome or a different response than you got the first time. So that's just like a base understanding of what I'm talking about. When someone says, oh, I broke no contact, it's like, fuck, I reached out to that person. And most of the time you're going to get the response from friends or family or strangers of just like, oh, why did you do that? What were you thinking? And it's like that sort of admonishment. Is that the word? Anyway, judgment, that sort of thing kind of comes from it, where you feel like it's just like you gave in to your lesser instincts and you put your heart above your head. It's that type of thing. And sometimes it can really work out for the best. Very rarely, maybe you will get like an apology. You'll get to express, if you're the one breaking no contact, reaching out, maybe you will get to express yourself or apologize or ease your conscience or whatever. Like, I really do think there's moments when someone's reached out to me in retrospect, wanting to apologize for something. Oh my God, Darla. Darla has her vagina out for the world to see. That's my girl. Anyway, there is definitely moments when it can be for the best, and it can come, the intention is coming from a good place. The other person is mentally in a good place, emotionally in a good place to be able to handle or receive this no contact breakage without snapping or getting defensive or whatever. And so every once in a while, I think it's a really beautiful thing when people kind of put their egos aside and reach out to someone they once cared about. But most times, like 8 times out of 10, it's going to end in disaster. And that's what I've experienced a lot of the time when I've reached out. When they reach out to me, obviously you feel like you're in the power seat and the ball is in your court. And like, okay, I have the potential to be magnanimous, or I have the potential to be a total fucking cunt. Like, I can go either way. And like, what do I want to do here? Do I want to like rub it in their face? Do I want to just send them a voice memo of me cackling because this, like, the audacity of this is so funny? I would never do that. Like, I'm not that type of girly. I'm too sensitive to do those savage things, but I respect it. But when you're the one reaching out and breaking no contact, which I've also been in that situation, it's an extremely like vulnerable place. You literally feel like you're like walking into a dark room and like anything could happen, any possibility could happen. Like, and you're just kind of standing there waiting for their response or their non-response or for them to react any sort of way. So it's just kind of a scary thing to do. But I think a lot of the reason people break no contact is because the risk of being shut down, being rejected, whatever, is like worth it to get out of this state of potential regret, feeling guilty, wondering what they're up to, wondering if you have a chance. Like, for a lot of people, it's like that what if, where they don't have a lot of answers, they don't have a lot of clarity, is what leads to breaking no contact, because they're like, I'm already tortured right now. I might as well continue this torture and like fully get rejected by this person if it means that I can actually move on to the next step. And that's one thing I will say about breaking no contact. There's been a few times that I've had to get like the door slammed in my face 2-3 times to actually understand, because maybe the first time they just like ghosted, or they just like kind of crept out and like didn't give me an actual answer, or like didn't give me any closure. And so of course in my head I'm like, oh, there might still be potential for the future, or maybe they're still thinking about me, and you kind of create this narrative in your head. And then when you actually get that door slammed against your face multiple times, then sometimes it finally clicks, like, okay, they don't like me. They don't want to be with me. Okie dokie. And then you're actually able to move on. And it's sad that we live in a world where sometimes that's what it takes to actually get straight answers out of people and honesty out of people, is to actually like have to track them down and beg them. I think you guys know how I feel. I think in general with dating, we should just be kind of more honest and like forthcoming from the get-go, like no ghosting, no game playing. That's just my personal vibe with dating, as you guys know. I've had to put myself in that vulnerable position a few times to really get some sort of answer, because I have a hard time. I'm getting better at this. I'm really working on this with my therapist, with myself, like really working on just being okay with not having answers, being okay with not having knowledge. What went wrong? What could have happened? Like, just not knowing is a very unsafe feeling for me. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. It's just really hard for me. I'd rather have like a blunt, mean answer, but have an answer or have a reason, than to live in no man's land and have no concept of what happened, what's going on. Like, that's a very scary place for me, but I'm trying to learn to teach myself to be to be more comfortable in that space, because that's life. There's going to be so many moments in life, whether it be romantically or just with a job, with anything, where you just don't know. You don't know why something happened. You don't know what the outcome will be of something, and you just have to carry on. And I don't want to live my life in a permanent state of panic all the time, because I just can't get a grasp on like what's going to happen. You just need to like teach yourself and train yourself to remind yourself, God, I've said myself so many times, that like I will survive. Whatever happens, good, bad, ugly, I will be okay. Everything will work out. I don't need all the answers to be able to do the right thing or make the next step. Like, you know, so it's just like, it's like training your brain, because it's completely normal to want answers and want clarity. That's human nature, but you don't always get that, unfortunately. So that's been a really important lesson I've learned in my healing journey that has allowed me to not break no contact as much as I used to, when I used to be way more insecure with that type of stuff. And I would go crawling back any chance I felt, like anytime I felt like it. Hey, can you answer this question for me? Hey, I really think you owe me an apology. Hey, like, I just need to know what happened, blah, blah, blah. And they never said They were never sensitive. They were never kind. They were never patient. It was always just made me feel way worse about myself. Like I was a pathetic little burden, which is not cool. They shouldn't have handled it that way. But also, I should have had more self-respect and more confidence to not go back to a person who's already disrespected me multiple times and like continue to let them disrespect me. So, you know, it goes both ways. Like I've forgiven so many people who've treated me badly. And I pride myself on that, even though half the time they go and continue to treat me badly or they do the same thing. For me, I just try to approach things in like an empathetic, open-hearted, open-minded way. And that's just how I choose to live my life, even though it bites me in the ass sometimes. So you got to kind of figure out what your boundaries are and what you're willing to forgive and not forgive and what conversations you're willing to go into. I think there's some situations where it's completely appropriate to want to have like a debrief. For example, if you're with someone for like 5 years and you like built a whole life together and then you break up, it seems sort of crazy to me to like never speak again. Like this person was a fundamental part of your life for like 5 years. And I think it's okay to like reach out after 6 months, like, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? Like, I mean, I guess that gets into some sticky territory, but like, I don't know. I don't think it's as black or white as people like to make it seem with exes of like, you can't, I'm friends with one of my exes, like good friends with one of my exes. And we've had so many interesting open conversations since we broke up about what we both did wrong and how we both could have learned and what our energy is moving forward. And it's been very healing. And I'm really proud of myself for being able to get to that place with an ex, but that's rare, I think. And you both have to have like a certain level of maturity and like acceptance to be able to get there. So I don't really know what my purpose of this episode is. It's not really to tell you to do one thing or another thing. I think generally a good rule of thumb is to not break no contact just because, like I said, most of the time it doesn't end well. But I also feel like if it's something that's ringing in your head every day, you can't get it out of your head. Like, I need to say this. I need to get this off my chest. I need to stand up for myself. I'm also an advocate for just doing the damn thing and getting it off your conscience, as long as it's not like mean or vicious or toxic. Like, so it's not the end of the world to break no contact. And if you've managed to go a certain amount of time not breaking no contact, then good for you. And you should be proud of yourself and you should give yourself a pat on the back. Not to make like a total like inappropriate connection, but in some ways it does remind me a little bit of like an addiction, because people can become addicted to other people. Maybe not necessarily even that person, but like what that person represents to them, whether it be just a safe space or a person of validation or I don't know, like a crutch. Like people can kind of just become like a crutch in your life if they're there all day, all night for years and years and years. And then when you go without that person, especially if the breakup was bad or whatever, of course you're going to like crave those positive feelings and you're going to start to kind of forget about the negative stuff and you're going to long and romanticize for the good stuff. So it is hard to restrain yourself from giving in to the romanticization and to just continue to be strong. It's really hard. And so you should applaud yourself if you're able to do that. And just, I guess, make sure if you are going to break no contact that you really think through about like, A, what do I want to say or what is the purpose of this? And like, is it actually worth asking? Do I already know the answer to this deep down? Is this just going to stir up more drama? Like, kind of consider what you actually want to say and what the repercussions of it could be. And then also you need to prepare yourself. And I know everyone says that they're prepared all the time, but you actually do have to like prepare yourself, body, mind, and soul for the potential that they won't reach out to you or they won't respond or they have blocked you or they might cuss you out for all I know. Like the reaction may not be good, or it may be indifferent and apathetic. And either way, like you really have to prepare yourself for that before you send that text, before you phone call, give them a phone call, before you send that follower request or whatever it is. Like you need to be like, either way, I am okay. And maybe make a pro con list or something beforehand. But you know, we're all just human beings walking around this earth, you know, making fools of ourselves, being kind of pathetic sometimes. And
I think that's okay. Like, we just, I think we need to stop being so hard on ourselves and like holding ourselves to this like crazy standard. We all make mistakes. We all embarrass ourselves sometimes, especially when it comes to love, especially when it comes to matters of the heart. We can all act a little bit like fools. I don't know. I feel like there's enough in life to beat yourself up over, to stress yourself out over. I feel like when it comes to something like that, like, oops, I reached out to my ex, just kind of laugh it off. Don't take yourself too seriously, in my opinion. I mean, it's obviously different if they're like an abusive psychotic freak, like that's a different story, but we've all done it. We've all dipped our toe back in the ex pool. We've all broke no contact. Is that the right? I don't know, guys. I'm an English major. I'd studied English in university. That is a tough one, though. We've all ended our no contact streak at some point. We all have done it. We've all gone, I don't want to say crawling back, but we've all reached out, whether it be just for sex or whether it be a drunken phone call or whether it be begging for someone's forgiveness. We've all done it, and we've all given into it too. Like, all of us, it's very rare that a breakup actually takes on the first go. And I say this to people all the time. It is very rare. Like, on average, it takes an addict 9 times to actually achieve long-standing sobriety. Like, on average, 9 times of like going to rehab, quitting, like they typically have 9 relapses. Again, you might think it's a weird comparison, and in some ways it's not an appropriate comparison, but I have rarely ever had a breakup where it was like, that was it. Like, often there is like a kind of maybe a discussion after, or a phone call, or a drunken night, or some sex, or, you know, it often trickles and ripples for a few months after, which is completely normal. So don't beat yourself up too much about it. If you're able to like completely cut someone off like that without even a second thought, either you're a bit of a sociopath or they did something so completely heinous that they don't even deserve like a second thought. And either way, good for you. I would save myself so much mental energy if I was able to be that way, but I'm a little bit more of a lover than a fighter, and I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. So I tend to struggle when it comes to breaking no contact, but I'm being strong. I am on the up and up with this. I'm just the, and it sounds so cliche, but it's true. The more I develop self-respect and love and confidence in myself, in my own life, and know what I deserve and know what I want, truly the easier it's been to not go crawling back to these guys. Like, it, and it's true. You gotta like not go searching for that type of stuff in someone else. You really have to find it within, and then it will become much easier to know what serves you and what doesn't, and to just be completely happy with that and not second guess yourself. So I will leave it at that. I hope if you have ended no contact recently, that this makes you feel a little bit better. And adversely, I hope that if you haven't given in and you've been strong, that you also feel better, and that this validates you regardless, because like I said, we're all humans. This podcast is a no judgment zone where we just keep it super real about the ups and the downs. So if you enjoyed this, or if you've listened to any of my other episodes and you enjoyed them, please subscribe on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a rating and review, leave a comment, share it with a friend, share it on your Instagram. Pop off, guys. It's 2024 and more people need to get on the train. So yeah, that's that. I hope you enjoyed seeing Darla's lady bits this entire episode. I just love her. Like, she just has no shame in her game whatsoever. We could all take a note from Darla. Okay, that's it for me, guys. Bye.